Good morning. Happy pre-4th of July weekend. If we haven't met yet, my name is Ron Sweet. I get to be our Fenton campus pastor, so it is so good to be here in this room. But while I'm at it, I just want to say hello to the fine folks in Fenton. They are great, and I miss you guys this weekend. Hello to Mid Rivers. Hello to those of you who are watching online. I want to start out with a question for you. How many of you are sports fans? Yeah? All right, you like sports? Good, good, awesome. Well, I love sports because I love watching sports. I coach middle school basketball for one of my sons. So sports is just such a big part of my life. It's just kind of woven into the fabric of who I am. And I think one of the reasons I love sports so much is because I really believe that sports, especially for kids, teaches really important life lessons. It teaches you how to handle disappointment and adversity and how to work with others and how to make friends. And it teaches you patience and perseverance. I mean, I could go on and on about how valuable sports are. So it really wouldn't be kind of a Ron Sweet weekend, me teaching here, if I didn't have a good sports story for you. Because that's just kind of who I am. That's how I connect. So I don't know how many have the ESPN app on your, that's how you know if you're a true sports fan. You have the ESPN app. All right. So I was reading a great story this summer on ESPN.com, and this is kind of a little hard for me to tell the story because I'm a huge Chicago guy, okay? That's where I grew up, so I'm a huge Chicago Bears fan, and this story is about somebody who plays for the Green Bay Packers, and if you know anything about that, that's a huge rivalry. But this guy who plays for the Green Bay Packers, he was traveling back to Green Bay this offseason, and he was flying through Minneapolis-St. Paul. And his flight was late getting into Minneapolis, and he missed his connection to Green Bay. And it's 11 p.m. on a Monday night, and he needs to be in Green Bay, Wisconsin at 7:30 a.m. for a workout. And when I say that he needs to be there, he really does. He really needs to be there because he has an incentive in his contract that says they'll pay him an extra $150,000 if he's there for these off-season workouts, which goes without saying that if any of you want to pay me $150,000 to come work out with you, I'm there. Just call me. Just call me, all right? So what does the guy do? He's in a city he really doesn't know. It's 11 p.m. on a Monday night, and he's thinking, how am I going to get back to Green Bay? So he's a social media guy. So he gets on Twitter and he tweets out a message all his followers saying, hey, are there any Green Bay Packer fans in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area who would be willing to drive me 4 hours to Green Bay so I can be there for this workout? And it just so happens there are two brothers, the Johnson brothers, who are guys like in their mid-40s. And they're up late that night scrolling through Twitter and they see this message. So they tweet him back and said, hey, we're game. We'll take you. So he takes him up on the offer. The brothers call each other. The one says, hey, I live closer to the airport than you. I'll pick him up. The other brother says, I'll meet you along the highway. They even bring a pillow for the guy to sleep in the back seat. And off they go on their road trip. And he tweets it out. Hey, we're on our way to Green Bay. They pull into the Green Bay airport at 3:30 a.m. where the player's car is parked. And the brothers are thinking at this point, you know what? It would have been cool just to get like a handshake and maybe a photo with the guy. And instead, he looks at him and says, guys, thank you so much. I can't tell you what this means to me that you would drive me all the way back to Green Bay. He says, why don't you follow me? It's at 3:30 in the morning. Follow me back to Lambeau Field, back to the stadium. Takes them to the stadium, signs cleats for them, football gloves. They get their picture taken with the Lombardi trophies, you know, the Super Bowl trophies. What an incredible night for two Packer-loving, cheesehead brothers. You know, that's a night that they'll never forget the rest of their lives. Don't you love stories like that? I do. You know why? Because they are filled with passion. They are filled with passion. When people are passionate about something, when they are dedicated to something, they're willing to do whatever it takes to get close to something, to experience something great. No matter what the cost, no matter what it takes, they're willing to do it. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about because you're passionate people. So when you think about something that you're passionate about, you're willing to pursue it no matter what the cost. No matter how much you're inconvenienced, you know, passion can be a really great thing. Passion, listen, passion can be the thing to like get you up out of bed in the morning. Passion can be the thing to get your heart racing and your blood pumping. Passion is one of the things that, man, I live for this thing because, man, I am passionate about it. And it can be a great thing. So what are you passionate about? What are you passionate about?
I mean, in a room this size, I'm sure that we're passionate about a lot of things. I mean, there's some of us in here, we are so passionate about our job and our work and what we do for a living. Others of us have a hobby that we are just so passionate about, whether it be, exercise or fitness. And some of you are passionate about movies and video games and art. And others of you are like coffee snobs and you're passionate about coffee. And, some of you are passionate about your hair and the products you put in your hair. Me, not so much. But some of you, that's what you're passionate about. You're passionate about your physique or how you look or the clothes you wear. And some of you are thinking, you know what? That sounds a little fanatical to me. And you know what? You'd be right. Because at the end of the day, it's just clothes. It's just your hobby. It's just work. It's just exercise. There is something greater and there is something more. There's when all that fades away, there's one thing that remains in the end. So there is something that is so good, so important, so worth pursuing, so worth giving your life to. Some of you know where I'm going with this. What if you and I were so passionate and dedicated about following Jesus? What if we made that our life's mission, our life's goal, that no matter what it takes, we are going to dedicate ourselves to passionately pursuing him no matter what? Well, one of my favorite books of the Bible is his Psalms, because you know why? Because of the way that David and others, the writer of Psalms, the way they passionately talk about the Lord, the way they describe God in the Psalms, it just resonates with my heart. So Psalm 42, 1-2, for instance, I love what the psalmist, how he passionately uses this language here. He says, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, the living God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God?" And David then, he writes Psalm 27, and he says, "The one thing I ask from the Lord, the one thing do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." David, I actually got to do a message on David a couple years ago. David's one of my favorite biblical characters. You know why? Because he was passionate. He was passionately pursuing Jesus throughout his life. Now, David, there was so much more to his life than just writing the Psalms and dancing and all that. He was a warrior. He was a conqueror. He was a king. He killed Goliath. Did David screw up? Did David have his shortcomings? Absolutely. But what we see throughout his life is that David is passionately pursuing God. And that's why I love the Psalms, is because the Psalms, they talk about this. They portray David as just this passionate follower of God. So when we read scripture, it's not just David though, is it? I mean, there's other stories that we can pinpoint of men and women who were so much about passionately following Jesus that they were willing to lose their very lives for the sake of the gospel. In the New Testament, you flip over to Philippians chapter 3 with me, because I want to talk about Paul for a minute. Paul, to me, Paul is one of those guys who I am inspired by his boldness, his courage, his faith, his perseverance, his passionate pursuit for following Jesus. So in Philippians 3, if you're there with your Bibles, you can turn with me, it'll be on the screen as well. Starting in verse 7, listen to what Paul says. He says, "But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ." Now jump down to verse 10. He says, "I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and the participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death." What was Paul's goal? He had it narrowed down to a laser-like focus. You know what his goal was? It was to know Christ. To know Christ. Not just know about him, but to know him. I mean, to know him personally, passionately, intimately, experientially. Paul says, "I want to know Christ." Look at verse 8 again, because I think sometimes when we read scripture, I'm guilty of this too, like we can pass over these powerful words that stand out, and we just kind of gloss over. Look at verse 8 again. Listen to what he says. He says, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. And I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. Those are powerful words. Listen, this was a guy who's been through some stuff in his life. This is a guy who's persevered through a lot. This was a guy who's been shipwrecked. This is a guy who's been in prison and in jail. And this is a guy who's had physical ailments. And in the midst of all that, he's leading jailers to Christ. He's going on missionary journeys. He's in the midst of all this, he's starting churches. He's training up leaders. I mean, Paul is basically saying that, listen, everything that I've been through, all the persecution, all the suffering, all the wasting away in the flesh, he said, is worth it because of the joy of knowing Jesus personally, the joy of being with him, the joy of becoming like him. That was Paul's focus. So here's the thing. I meet so many people who say, you know what? I want more of Jesus in my life. I do. I want to know him personally. I want to be more like him. I want to get close to him in my daily life. They want to have that kind of relationship with Jesus, like guys like Paul and David did. So when you ask them, is the desire and passion there? Yes. Yes, the desire and passion is there. But here's the rub for most of us, is that the desire and passion can be there to do something, but the follow through is not there. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Because if you're like me, you've had the gym membership that you've never used. You've had the books on your shelf that you've never read. You have the people on your list in your life that you've never called or texted and you said you were gonna. We don't follow through. We're not intentional about getting to where we wanna be in life, the direction that you and I wanna go. So Paul said, I wanna know Christ. I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to be in the participation of his sufferings. He said, I don't want to wait to get to heaven to experience Christ. I want to experience him right now, today. That was his goal. So what about you? What about you? Do you want to know him that way? Do you want to passionately pursue him? Are you experiencing more of Jesus in your life today? And if not, why? If not, how come? I think for a lot of us, you know, we can sense that there's more to this life with God, but for a lot of us, like, we've reached out to Jesus to save us. We've reached out to him to be our rescuer. But man, we are stuck. We're stuck. We don't know what to do. We don't know where to go. How do we cultivate that kind of relationship where God and I, we're close? How do we do that? Listen, these are important questions. I think we should talk about them. I think we should talk about it. So no matter where you are, Fenton, Mid Rivers, right here in Chesterfield, you're watching online, talk to each other around you. How do you cultivate that kind of passionate relationship with Jesus? Are there things that you can do? Are there practices that you can incorporate into your life? Are there disciplines that you can have that will help cultivate that kind of relationship? What have you found helpful personally in your life? So I'd love for you guys to talk to each other. Fenton Rivers, you know how to get a hold of me. Text me your answers. Guys, go ahead and talk to each other. All right, we're getting some great stuff in from the sites. My phone's blowing up here. But I would love to hear from you guys first. Like, what have you found helpful in your life when it comes to pursuing Christ? What's that? Going to church more? Okay, that certainly helps. Being consistent, being here. Yeah, what else? Reading the Bible. Okay, that was on several of the lists here. Listening to podcasts, involvement in church, taking the time to do it. What else? Serving. Okay, serving. Yeah, absolutely. Getting involved and serving other people.
Having a spiritual mentor.
I can't tell you how important that has been in my life. I can think back over the years to just different people who have poured into me, who have invested in me, who believed in me, who pointed me towards Christ. Yeah, things like 242 group here, reading, prayer, staying in a routine. We talked about last service, one of the guys mentioned just eliminating distractions. You know, they're saying there's just something about getting away from it all, being able to focus. Whether it's reading or studying or praying. Just a couple more here. Morning devotion, serving, intentionally slowing down. There's that word intentionality again. We're gonna come back to that. All right. Listening to podcasts, being in the Word, going to church. Yeah. I mean, you're kind of seeing a common theme here. Here's the thing with when it comes to spiritual growth though. Man, we can come up with quite a list, can't we? I mean, we can think of all the things that we need to do, and it can often be overwhelming because that list starts to grow and grow, and if you were to type in a Google search of, like, spiritual growth, you would be amazed
at all the different resources and ideas and books and conferences and worship CDs and podcasts and websites that you can go to. And guys, listen, if we're not careful, we can make this really, really complicated. And it doesn't need to be. I had a friend explain it to me once this way. He said, you know, your relationship with Christ is kind of like any other important relationship in your life. So he said, you know, think about the things that you do when it comes to building a healthy relationship. So whether that be your husband, your wife, your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, your best friend, think about what are the things that you do, right? So there are things like, well, first of all, you acknowledge the person exists, right? Like you think about them often. You find yourself wanting to communicate with them. You want to talk to each other. You want to spend time together. You enjoy each other's company. You do nice things for each other. You serve each other on a regular basis. And you don't do these things out of duty or guilt or obligation. You do them because you want to. Why? Because you are both committed to the relationship. You're both committed to making that relationship grow and get stronger and take it to the next level. Those are all really important things. So when it comes to my relationship with my wife, one of the things that we have to do is be intentional about spending time together, about growing and building our relationship. So for us, like many of you, we live busy lives. We have 3 kids and activities and sports and all that stuff. So for us, one of the things that I found really helpful lately and I really look forward to and enjoy is when she and I take the dog for a walk. Because there's just something about that time where we are uninterrupted. We don't have somebody talking in our ear. We're not on the phone. We're just talking to each other. And it's our time to catch up on life. It's our time to talk about our jobs. It's our time to talk about our kids. It's our time to talk about what God's doing in our life, both as individuals and both what God is teaching us as a couple. And guys, I love that time. But you know what? That time doesn't just happen on its own. We have to be intentional. We have to make the time. We have to put on the running shoes. We have to go get the leash. We have to deal with the crazy dog who's barking and can't wait to get out of the house. You know, we have to be willing to sweat a little bit here in the summertime. But I'm telling you, the payoff is worth it. We get back to the house every time. We say, oh, we're so glad we did that. We feel better. We feel better physically, but we feel better like emotionally too. We feel more connected to each other because we've spent that time. And when it comes to a passionate relationship with Jesus, it's not any different. There are things that you and I need to do. Yes, absolutely. There are things that we need to do to cultivate our relationship. Now listen, I want you to hear what I'm not saying though. When I'm talking about that there are things that you and I need to do to cultivate this relationship, I'm not talking about earning your salvation. I'm not talking about doing enough good works to somehow earn God's favor or to earn God's grace. I'm not talking about jumping through a bunch of religious hoops with the hopes that God is going to somehow love me and that's going to make things right with between me and God as if I do all these things. Guys, I'm not talking about doing things to try to look holy in front of other people. There's nothing that you and I can do to earn God's favor, to earn God's grace. So I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about, please hear me, I'm talking about spiritual growth. I'm talking about gaining traction. I'm talking about trying to become more like Jesus. And becoming more like Jesus just doesn't happen by itself. There's things that you and I have to do to be intentional, to grow and cultivate and make this relationship stronger. Listen, David and Paul, they were passionate guys. They were passionate about Jesus. And you and I, we need to be passionate about our relationship with him too. So can I just share with you just a simple question I read in a book by another pastor? And you're gonna be absolutely shocked by the simplicity of this question. It's nothing super deep, but it is a question that I have been asking other people. It's a question that the Fenton staff and I have been talking about. And it has just created some great conversation for us. And here's the question. What moves me towards Jesus? What moves me towards Jesus? In other words, another way you could ask that question is, what moves me closer to him? And we've talked about this question. It's been so cool to hear the different answers of how people would answer that question. But listen, when we talk about what moves me closer to Jesus, here's the thing. It must include 3 things. It must include the basics, the fundamentals. These things are so crucial to a relationship with Christ. And here they are: Scripture,
You know why? Because it's how God speaks to us. Prayer, it's how we speak to God. And worship, which is more than just singing songs. So scripture, let's talk about scripture for a second. Because, you know, if you've been around the Crossing for any length of time, one of the things that you've heard us say over and over again, because we believe it to the core of our being, is that the Bible is home base for us. It is. We believe that the words found in this book are the absolute truth. It is the way that God speaks to us, but it's also the way that God reveals himself to us. So we believe in the authority and the reliability of this book. We trust this book. And now listen, some of you aren't there yet. Some of you have questions. And listen, that's okay. Keep coming back. But we believe that there is overwhelming evidence for the reliability and the authority of this book. So it's really important that you get a readable and reliable translation of this book. Listen, if you were to go to one of our bookstores this weekend on any of our campuses and you were to walk in there and you were to ask them to help you pick out a Bible, oh man, I'm telling you, you will make their weekend. You will. That's what they live for. They love to have those conversations and love to help people find a Bible that really is going to fit them. Now listen, in this age of technology, one of the things that I love is that we have the Bible right at our fingertips right here on our phone. So if you don't have the YouVersion Bible app, I'm going to encourage you to get it. Because one, I love this little app because it has, you can look up any scripture you want. It has different reading plans. But one of the things that I love about the YouVersion is that they have a little thing on there called the verse of the day. And every day of the week, there's a different verse that you can read that just pops up on your phone. And I can't tell you how many times over the years where I opened the verse of the day, and it was exactly the verse that I needed for that day. It's like God knew. God knew in his infinite wisdom that that's exactly what I needed for that day. So I'm going to encourage you, scripture needs to be a part of your everyday life, gang. It just does. It's how God speaks to us. But it's not just scripture, it's prayer. It's how we speak to God. Now listen, we could do a whole series on prayer and not do it justice. Listen, just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean that I have this special connection with God that others don't have. That's not true, okay? Listen, prayer in its simplest form. You know what prayer is? Prayer is you and God having a conversation like you would any friend. That's what prayer is. Prayer is simply talking to God. You know, this is so cool. This was actually my verse of the day a week ago Friday as I was preparing for this message. Listen to this. 1 John 4:15. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. You know what that means? That means that if God lives in us and if God lives in me, that means that we can talk. That means that we can have a conversation anywhere, any place, anytime. So for me lately, one of the places I've found myself talking to God, as crazy as this sounds, you know where it is? Where there's like uninterrupted time, there's limited distractions. It's in the car. It's in the car. When I actually turn the radio off and spend time talking to God, it's amazing how God and I connect. So there's been times where I'm driving by my kids' schools and I think about something that they're going through and it just stops me to force and to pray for them. And you know what happens in those moments when I do that? God and I do this. I feel closer to him. I feel his presence and his power in my life. And it's so good to know that you and I can have a conversation with God. We can talk to the God of the universe because he cares for us. So scripture needs to be a part of our life. Prayer needs to be a part of it because it's how we talk to God. And the last thing is worship, which is way, way more than just singing songs here on the weekend, gang. Worship is about your everyday life. You know, Louis Giglio, who's an author and pastor in Atlanta, I love what he says about worship. He says this, "But God isn't honored by words alone. Like any of us, he is moved by words that are authenticated by actions. So when it comes to worship, it's the total package that matters. What you say, how you say it, and whether you mean it. And our words mean most when they are amplified in every area of our lives." Well, that's powerful, isn't it? Because you know what God wants more than anything else, guys? He wants our hearts. He wants our hearts. That's what God wants. He wants us to know him that way, where he has our heart. So we must continually come back to these basics. We need to continually come back to scripture, to prayer, and to worship. You know, so instead of being overwhelmed by this, I think one of the things that could be the most freeing thing that you've heard in quite some time, and that's this, is that when it comes to spiritual growth, when it becomes becoming like Jesus, it's not a one-size-fits-all approach. It's not. So much of this depends on how you're wired and what your temperament is and how you connect with God. And to me, I find that to be very freeing. I do. I find that to be great news because if you're anything like me, we can get discouraged so easily and frustrated because we think that we need to connect with God the way that somebody else does. And we don't. We need to be who God's made us to be. And there's ways that God has uniquely made you and uniquely wired you and given you a unique temperament and a way that you can connect to him on a very personal level. So what moves you towards Jesus? What moves your heart closer to him? You know, we started with the basics, but like in any relationship, there is so much more to this relationship than just the basics. It depends on how you're wired, your temperament. So one of the books that's helped me along the way with this, and I read it years and years ago, it's been around for quite some time, is a book called Sacred Pathways by Gary Thomas. And listen to what Gary Thomas says, how he describes a sacred pathway. He says, put very simply, it describes the way that we relate to God, how we draw near to him. And in this book, Thomas lays out nine different pathways. What I love about this is he backs up each pathway with scripture. He shows different biblical examples of different Bible characters and different how each one was unique and how they had different sacred pathways. He talks about practical ways that you can kind of lean into your pathway. He even gives you just some warning signs and some dangers that you need to be aware of with certain pathways. So I would encourage you, we actually sold out of this book already this weekend, which is really awesome. You can go online and try to find it, but it's just a real helpful book I found. But there's other books out there too. I mean, it's not just Gary Thomas. You can look up stuff by John Ortberg and kind of his take on the different pathways that have. But I just thought it'd be helpful really quick for us to kind of look at what are the nine different pathways. Because maybe you find yourself connecting with one of these. You know, like the naturalist. I mean, we'll get back to that one in a minute. But just somebody who loves God while they're outdoors. The sensates, they love God with the senses. So think, you know, touch, smell, feel. I mean, there's one of my coworkers here at the church. She's just telling me how, gosh, there's just something about when the smell of baking bread just draws her closer to the Lord because she thinks about Jesus. She thinks about how he's the bread of life. So there's just something about the senses. The traditionalists, they love God through ritual and symbol. So I know for many of you, you look forward to taking communion because communion is so, it's symbolic of Jesus's body and his blood. So look forward to that. Be here next weekend because we're gonna be teaching about communion. We're gonna be taking communion together. So for those of you who are traditionalists, get ready for that. So the aesthetics, they love God in solitude and simplicity. Think of just eliminating the distractions, getting away from everything and just focusing on God. The activists, they love God through confrontation. I mean, they believe that God has called them to a certain cause, to some kind of certain, you know, biblical justice, and they're willing to invest their lives and make a difference in that. Then there's the caregivers. They love God through loving others and through serving other people. And the enthusiasts, they love God through mystery and celebration. So they like the big corporate worship celebrations like we have here, but they also love the simplicity of just them being alone with God in just a private moment of worship. And then there's the contemplatives. They love God through adoration. So they love reading the Psalms. They love the part of just the beauty and the different attributes of who God is. And then there's the intellects. They love God with their mind. And here's the thing with these nine pathways, right? Like, we don't find these nine names in the Bible. We don't. I mean, these are nine pathways. I could give you examples of people in scripture and the different pathway they had. But the important thing to know is that God has uniquely wired you in a certain way to lean into some kind of pathway, some way that you can connect with him on a personal level. He's created you with a certain bent and a certain tendency to connect with him in a real personal way. So I would love for us to stop right now and have a little time where we can just talk about this. What do you think your pathway is? Do you have a pathway? And maybe it's not even one on this list. Maybe there's another way that God has created you, whether it's through running or whether it's through cooking or baking or some way. How has God wired you uniquely to connect with him? So talk to each other. Talk to each other about your pathway. All right. Well, hey, hopefully you've had a chance to just maybe for the very first time, you were able to just kind of give this some good thought and just think, you know, this is how I'm uniquely wired. And listen, I have friends who are all over this spectrum, people I work with here at the church who have different pathways. And it's just cool to kind of see how that all plays out. I think of one guy here, a friend of mine who, you know, he's a total naturalist. I mean, this guy loves nature. For him, he loves being in the woods and walking and going for a walk. He used to take the long way around to work, and he would drive through the woods like in his car to get to church because that's how he connected with God. There was something about it for him that being in creation pointed him towards the Creator and helped him connect with Jesus in a real personal way. I think about a couple of gals here on staff who are total caregivers. I mean, they give their life to serving other people. And there's just something about that for them that they feel the joy and the presence of Jesus in their life when they are caring for and serving others. So they are involved in all kinds of different outreach initiatives, you know? So both of those people, they approach God differently, but they would be quick to say that we should never suggest at all that we ever toss aside scripture, prayer, and worship because they are so intertwined into these pathways. You know, I think about Joel, for instance, who's my associate pastor, my partner in crime down in Fenton. He's a total intellectual. You know, I walk by his office and I look over and I see, you know, piles of like theology books and commentaries. And then I go back to my office and sometimes I'm messed up by just reading one verse a day. And I'm in a private moment of worship where all of a sudden I'll listen to a song and I'm thinking about that all day long. Now, you know, for Joel, that's how he connects with God. For me, I'm more of a contemplative and kind of an enthusiastic guy. I mean, enthusiast. I love the big worship settings. I love the big corporate celebration. I love private moments of worship too, but I love celebrations. So for me, when we do like the big baptism celebration, man, I worshiped out there a few weeks ago on the back patio or the back parking lot of our church back there. There's just something about that worship and that celebration, that adoration for me. That's why I love reading the Psalms, is because I love the beauty and the language that it used to describe the Lord. That's why my heart is so moved by those kind of things. So for me, I need to continue to lean into those things. I need to lean into who God's made me to be. You know, I mentioned Joel a second ago. You know, like I said, he could read a whole bunch of theology. He could read a whole book in one day. For me, sometimes I'm thinking about just one thought a day and thinking about it for the whole day. Now, does that make Joel more holier than me? No, absolutely not. Does that make me better than him? No. Listen, guys, one of the best things that you and I can do is to continue to figure out what our pathway is. And one of the worst things that we can do is try to determine for other people what their pathway should be. Because when we do that, we start to become legalistic then, saying, this is the way I connect with God. You should connect with God this way too. And when we do that, we become legalistic and we start to become kind of like the Pharisees, the people that Jesus despised. We become arrogant, we become puffed up and judgmental of other people. Listen, guys, these pathways are meant to push us towards the gospel. They are meant to push us more into a life with Jesus and a passionate relationship with him. So it's so important that we figure out how God's wired us and how he's meant us to connect with him. Because guys, remember, at the end of the day, what this is about, it's about knowing Christ. That's what Paul said. It's about knowing Christ. So listen, I don't know how you connect with God. I don't. But here's what I do know. God longs to connect with you. He does. Jesus wants us to have this passionate, personal relationship with him because, listen, it is so worth it. I'm telling you, it is so worth it that when you reach out to Jesus and you ask him to be your Savior, he brings hope and healing and purpose and meaning and fulfillment and he brings all those things in your life. Jesus will do that. He will bring peace and healing and redemption, when you reach out to him, when you ask him to be your savior and ask him to be your rescuer, I'm telling you, it is worth it. It is worth it. I get to meet so many people around here. I love during baptism because I get to have so many conversations with people who say, Jesus has changed my life and following him is so worth it. And I am not ashamed to publicly tell a watching world that I'm with Jesus and he has changed my life from the inside out. And I am a different person because of him. So guys, is it worth it to follow him? Is it worth it to passionately pursue him? Absolutely. Even when you feel like you're not gaining traction, even when you feel like you're not making progress, I'm telling you, it's worth it. Guys, this is what your soul craves. This is what your heart longs for, to have this personal relationship with him. Will it be hard work at times? Yes. Will you have to be intentional and take steps on a daily basis? Yes, but is it worth it? Yes, I'm telling you, it is worth it because God is up to something in your life. God is up to something in my life. Listen, I'm what you call a work in progress. And some of you can relate, but I'm telling you, passionately pursuing Jesus is worth it. It's worth it, the payoff in the end, that we will become more like him every day and we will experience the joy and the power and the peace of his presence in our life. So guys, be intentional this summer. Take steps towards Jesus. Figure out what your pathway is. If there's something that you're not doing and you know that you're supposed to be doing, then do it. Do it. It'll be worth it. God's up to something in your life. I'm telling you, it's worth it. Let's stand for closing prayer. Father, as I come before you now, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that you're in my life. I'm so grateful for, God, how you change us and you make us more like you each and every day. So God, help us to continually pursue you with passion and purpose, God, knowing that it'll be worth it. And God, that we will be able to cling to the words that Paul says in Philippians 1:6, that we can be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it out into completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Have a great 4th of July. All right. See you.